بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. جزاك الله خير for joining us for our weekly halakha, weekly gathering of Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayhi's Bidayat al-Hidayah, beginning of guidance. In our last week's class, we were talking about sins of the heart. And from the sins of the heart, Imam Ghazali says, of the many sins that can be found in his Ahya al-Ulumuddin, there are three that he talks about. And we were going through these three, and from these three, Imam Ghazali says, number one is envy, number two is ostentation, number three is pride. And we were talking about this, and we left off conceit, pride, and arrogance. So we were left off on page 118. So inshallah, we'll be reading from page 118. If you have the book, again, this is Imam Ghazali's Bidayat al-Hidayah, beginning of guidance. And we're talking about the disease of the heart. Again, this comes under the category of sins. So we can look at our sins and work on eliminating them. Inshallah, let's read ahead.
Arrogance will not be removed from your heart until you realize that the truly great person is he who is great in the sight of Allah Most High, and that this depends on one's final state, which is uncertain. Because of this uncertainty, your fear of a bad end should preoccupy you and keep you from being arrogant toward Allah's servants. The fact of your present certainty and fate does not lessen the possibility of change in the future. For indeed, Allah is the changer of hearts. He guides whom He wills and leaves to stray whom He wills.
So Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah, he brings this really good point that if we look at the origin of arrogance, why a person has pride or arrogance, we understand that it's mainly because a person likes to look good in front of other people's eyes. You want other people to see you in a certain way. You want other people to understand that you are better than them or better than somebody else. So a person now worries about how they look in the eyes of other people. And he says that arrogance will not be removed from your heart until you realize that truly a great person is a person that's great in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't matter what other people think of you. And I think, you know, this mindset, if a person can install that mindset where they don't care or, you know, they don't really give attention to what other people think of them, as long as they are you know, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in a good position, this can be one of the most, you know, empowering qualities that a person can have in themselves. This will make a person independent from the, you know, from the dunya and the people of the dunya, and make a person completely, you know, sorry, make a person independent from the dunya and the people of dunya, and make a person dependent only on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So once a person understands that it doesn't matter how other people see me, as long as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees me great in His eyes, in His sight, as long as I am great in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that person can free himself from pride. You know, so Imam Ghazali rahmatullah, he talks about this, and he, you know, he says that, you know, and this is what your final state depends on. Your akhirah depends on it. So you know, you should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know, always keep this thought in mind. Whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, Allah guides who He wills, and He leaves you astray whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. At the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a changer of heart. So if a person has these qualities in them, then just ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. You feel like, you know, you do have arrogance, or you do have pride, or you do look down upon people, then ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help and ask Him to change your heart, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is definitely the changer of the heart, and He can guide our hearts if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. Let's read ahead.
The narrations regarding envy, ostentation, and arrogance are many. Sufficient for you is one hadith that deals with all of these traits. Ibn al-Mubarak narrates with his chain of transmission on the authority of a man who said to Mu'adh ibn Jabal, radiallahu anhu, O Mu'adh, tell me a hadith you heard from the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The man said, Mu'adh wept until I thought he would not stop, and then became quiet. He then said, I heard the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, say, O Mu'adh, I will tell you a hadith that if you uphold it, will benefit you, but if you neglect it, you will have no excuse before Allah on the Day of Judgment.
So again, this hadith that we're just about to, you know, read of Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu is a very important hadith where, you know, the Prophet says that if you stick to it, it's going to benefit you. But if you neglect it, then you have no excuse in the front of the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the Prophet telling all of us that act upon this and it will benefit you, it will help you with your condition of your heart. But if you don't act upon it, then on the Day of Judgment, when you stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and know that there will be no other excuse, there will be no other person to blame but yourself. And then we can only look at ourselves and, you know, stand up in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And imagine standing up in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and saying, "Oh Allah, I failed. Oh Allah, you gave me a chance in this dunya, but I dropped the ball, and I dropped the ball so horribly." And that's a very, you know, tough thought that, you know, to process, that we can stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one day and say that to Allah, "Oh Allah, I failed." So here the Prophet is saying, don't neglect this, because otherwise you will have to make that, you know, you will have to admit to Allah on the Day of Judgment. Let's read ahead.
O Mu'ad, verily Allah created seven angels before creating the heavens and earth. Then he created the heavens, and he ordained one angel to be the gatekeeper of each of the seven heavens. The recording angels ascend to the heavens with a servant's deeds that have been recorded that day. From the time he wakes up in the morning until the time he sleeps in the evening, and these good deeds possess a light like that of the sun. When the angels reach the lowest heaven, they anoint and magnify the deeds. The gatekeeper angel responds, "Strike with these acts the face of one who did them, for I am the overseer of backbiting. My Lord has ordered me to not allow the deeds of anyone guilty of backbiting to get past my gate to those above."
So again, this part right here, we understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before he created the dunya, before he created the skies, the heavens, he first created these angels. And again, we understand our belief in the angels that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them certain tasks and certain responsibilities to carry out. But then, you know, the hadith carried on tells us about a person's deeds and how the angels will go ahead. But this last angel will say that, you know, a person who backbites, a person who can't control his tongue, they can't pass. The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told them to, you know, make sure that these people do not go ahead. But let's read on ahead so we understand this at least more than more. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued.
He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued. Then the recording angels ascend with another slave's good deeds, anointing and magnifying them, this time making it to the second level of heaven. The gatekeeper of the second level of heaven says, "Stop, strike with this work of the face of one who did it. I am the angel who checks for pride. Verily, he sought by his works a transient aspect of the world. My Lord has ordered me to not let his deeds get past me, for verily, he used to have pride towards those in whose company he sat."
So what we understand from this hadith is that the angels, they go to the first heaven, and the first heaven says, you know, if this person has backbited, then you can't take his deeds further ahead. Go back. The second heaven, so the first filter is backbiting. The second filter is pride, and this is where our topic is. So on the second heaven, the angel said, if this person has any bit of pride or any bit of arrogance, then send him back down, and this person will be set down. The angel will be sent down with their deeds, right? So that's the second filter that we see. The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again, we understand how such a deed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really, really looks down upon him. We talked about the hadith last week as well, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, al-azmatu wal-kibriyai wal-azmatu, that being lofty and great are my garments. And whoever tries to take off these garments, I'll fling this person in the fire agenda. Well, we spoke about a lot of, hadith last week, but this hadith tells us that, this will be the second filter. Let's talk about the third filter. Carry on.
He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, continued, "The recording angels bring another slave's deeds glow." Esteem among the religious jurists, to be mentioned by the scholars, and one to be favorite. Famous.
Hold up.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Sorry?
I think we skipped a part. Did we skip a part?
Noman, can you just scroll up a little bit more?
The PDF is missing a page. All right. Let's read from the book. Do you guys have the book?
Yeah. Let me go get it. One moment.
Okay. So we're on the top of page 119. So again, this is a much longer hadith. So inshallah, we'll read from page 119. And then I think the PDF skips one page. But we'll come back to that later on. So on the top of page 120, we're reading that the recording angels bring another slave's deeds, glowing with light from charity, fasting, and prayer. Deeds that truly impress the recording angels. They succeed in passing the first two levels of heaven, carrying the deeds to the third level. The gatekeeper says to them, "Stop. Strike with this work the face of the one who did it." Basically, send it back. Right? It gets rejected. Whatever deeds you brought, go and strike the face of the person who did it. I am the angel that monitors arrogance. So the first was pride, and the second is arrogance. My Lord has commanded me not to allow his deeds to pass me. For verily, he used to be arrogant towards others in their gatherings. The second angel was pride, the third angel is arrogance, and we see it's another filter that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting on the heavens. If we look at both of these two are very similar, pride and arrogance. But we understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts two different angels for these deeds is to show that this is that great in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that being lofty or considering yourself to be something better than others. And when we talk about pride, usually we don't put a exact image, or when we talk about arrogance, we don't put an exact image. Having pride and arrogance is looking down upon anybody. And that can be for any reason, right? They live in a so-and-so house, right? Their house is all right. Or they live on the okay side of the neighborhood. Or my kids go to so-and-so school. Or I drive a so-and-so car. And a lot of times, in our community, it's a very common thing, right? Where on one hand, we admit or we proclaim that we're educated people, that we don't commit sins like this. But we commonly find ourselves on the other side, where we are looking down on others. There's a group of people who are in a certain line of work. They look at somebody else and they're like, whatever. This person isn't doing much of their life. There's a group of doctors. They look down at somebody else, this person's wasting their life. IT people looking down at others, saying, I'm not trying to call people out, but this is the way that the reality is. And then at the bottom, you have somebody that's really struggling through and just putting in a lot of work and effort to provide for his family, maybe driving Uber, maybe delivering food. But this person working really hard. But everybody else that's on that, that's on that ladder will look down upon this person. Not doing much in his life. Or your kids don't go to private school, your kids go to public school. Well, that's the car that you're driving. I mean, you tell me that, a lot of time when we step out of the masjid into the parking lot and we see somebody with a beat up car, We're immediately thinking that you and I, we're better than this person. That person doesn't know what's going, that person doesn't know what's going on. That person is wasting their life. So this is pride and this is arrogance, right? That we, a lot of times we look over because we, you know, consider ourselves to be a, you know, advancing nation, advancing, you know, generation. But let's read ahead. Inshallah.
Do we end at the line that ends like arrogant toward others and their gatherings?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, continued, the recording angels take the deeds of another slave, glowing like a shining star, responding with the glorification of Allah, prayer, fasting, the Hajj, and Umrah. The angels carry them until they reach the fourth level. The gatekeeper tells them, stop. Strike with these deeds the face, back, and belly of the one who did them. I am the watcher over conceit. My Lord has ordered me not to allow his deeds to get past me. When he used to do any deed, conceit would enter into it.
Right. So number three, we see that each of these three we talked about, pride, arrogance, conceit, that, you know, whenever he does something, he does it so people you know, think highly of him. Whenever he did an action, he did it, why? So people associate that action and how great he is, right? So this is another sin of the heart, right? That we see that there's pride, arrogance, and conceit, and each of them will have a angel that will say, no matter what. So if you look at this hadith, you know, before we talk about conceit and arrogance and pride, the very scary part is that this person has a lot of good deeds. You know, salah, fasting, hajj, and umrah. And I feel like many of us don't have that much. But his deeds are being sent down and thrown onto his face. Why? Because he had pride. Why? Because he had arrogance. Why? Because, you know, whenever he did something, he did it so that, you know, people would think highly of him. So we understand that these are certain things that will destroy your good deeds. They'll wipe away your good deeds. And you can have, you know, again, a person who prays and does so much good, it all gets wiped away. Let's read ahead.
He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, the recording angels ascend with the deeds of another, escorting them like a bride to her groom until they reach the fifth level of heaven. The gatekeeper tells them, stop, strike with these deeds the face and the back of one who did them, and place them on his shoulder. I am the monitor of envy. Indeed, he used to envy people who would study and do deeds similar to his, as well as every person who would excel in acts of worship. He would envy and speak ill of them. My Lord commanded me to prevent his actions from getting past me to higher levels.
So the next stage we see is the stage of envy and jealousy. And when we look at this, you know, at the hadith from a step further back, remember that these are all things that the Prophet ﷺ said, if a person has this, then he has no one to blame but himself. Right? If a person is in this situation, then the person has no one to blame but themselves. So if a person has pride, arrogance, conceit, or envy, then nobody's blaming himself. But if a person acts upon this and protects himself and works on these diseases, works on these illnesses, then it will benefit them. But again, when we look at envy, you know, I keep remembering what Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah said when we were talking about this, that envy is that disease that the person who's suffering from it, there's no cure. You know, it's a constant suffering, because if that person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a ni'mah away, somebody else will have something better, and somebody else will have something better until you work on it. Right? There's no relief until you yourself work on it and free your heart and clean your heart away from envy. Let's read ahead.
He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the recording angels take the deeds of another person, consisting of prayer, fasting, almsgiving, and Hajj and Umrah. They make it to the sixth level where the gatekeeper says, "Stop. Strike with these deeds the face of one who did them. He would never show mercy to a single one of Allah's servants who were afflicted by misfortune or calamity. Rather, he would gloat over their hardships. I am the angel of mercy. Allah has ordered me not to allow his deeds to get past me."
So again, it's another beautiful deed of having mercy upon people. And hadith comes to mind where Allah subhanahu, where the Prophet sallallahu says, whoever does not have mercy upon other people, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not have mercy upon them. Right? A very, very beautiful hadith. And this hadith itself can make your heart soft. This hadith yourself can change your akhlaq and your characteristics, because when you keep that in mind that you want Allah to have mercy upon you, you want Allah to shower you with his mercy, but that's going to require you to be merciful upon others. Another hadith that comes to mind where the Prophet ﷺ says that you have mercy upon the people on the earth, and the person and the being that's in the skies will have mercy upon you. Right? Have mercy upon those on earth with you, your friends, your family, your children, your wife, your parents, your neighbors. Anybody that you need, have mercy upon them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, in the skies, will have mercy upon you. And he actually, Imam Zayd, he brings this part of the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that when he sees a person afflicted with a misfortune or a calamity, right, he wouldn't show mercy, which tells us to do the opposite. Whenever you see somebody that's going through a hardship, show mercy, right? Don't gloat over their hardships. Don't make fun of the hardships. Help a Muslim brother out. Let's read ahead.
He sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued, "The recording angels take the deeds of another slave, consisting of prayer, fasting, spending his wealth, jihad, and scrupulousness. The deeds hum like a bee and shine with the brightness of the sun. Escorting the deeds are 3,000 angels, and they reach the gate of the seventh heaven. The gatekeeper says, stop. Strike with these deeds the face of the one who did them. Strike his limbs with them and lock his heart. Verily, I keep from my Lord all those deeds that were not done for his sake. Indeed, he sought by his actions other than Allah, mighty and majestic. He desired esteem among the religious jurists to be mentioned by the scholars and to be famous in the cities. My Lord has ordered me to not allow his deeds pass me. Any act not done purely for the sake of Allah alone is just done for show. Allah does not accept the deeds of people who show off."
So again, we see a very similar case, but this person, you know, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam adds that he spends his wealth, he performs jihad, and then he engages in wada, where he really goes out of ways to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But all of this will be thrown back into his face, because sometimes when he would do stuff, it wouldn't be for the sake of Allah. His intention would be to show off. His intention would be, like I said before, is for the praise of other people. And this will be the reason why his deeds, all of his deeds, will be rejected and sent back and thrown onto his face. Let's read ahead to the last one. Tabe.
Sorry. Muad said, "O Messenger." He sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "The recording angels take the deeds of another person, prayer, almsgiving, fasting, hajj, and umrah, good character, observance of silence, and remembrance of Allah Most High. The angels of the heavens escort it forward until it breaks through all barriers and veils to Allah, mighty and majestic. They stand in front of him and bear witness to these righteous deeds, done sincerely for his sake. Allah, mighty and majestic, says, 'You record the deeds of my servant, and I observe what is in his heart. Verily, he did not seek me by this deed. He desired other than me. So my curse is upon him.' The angels say, 'Upon him is your curse and ours, and the seven heavens and those who are in them curse in them curse him.
Well, I feel like this is like a plot twist. I feel like this time, you know, the deeds are about to go through all the way into Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would accept them. But we see that even this stage, where a person gets through all the different angels and his deeds come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would then say, look, I know what's inside the hearts. The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he knows the condition of our hearts, and said, you know what, still this person did not do for me. Maybe he didn't make it seem like it, but I knew in his heart why he was doing it. He did it for the sake of somebody else, right? He didn't do it for my sake. He did it for somebody else's sake. His desire was other than me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala curses this person. And the angels turned around and said, you know what? Oh Allah, if you curse him, then our curse should be upon him as well. And the seven heavens and all of those that are in him, everybody's curse is upon them. Right? So subhanAllah, this just tells you how much you really have to monitor your heart. You have to, you know, put your heart through the fine comb. And don't let any pride and don't let any arrogance or, you know, to show off other people come into your heart. Then Mu'adhadan says, sorry, carry on. Sorry.
Mu'adh said, O Messenger of Allah, you are the Messenger of Allah, and I am Mu'adh. How can I find escape and salvation from this? He, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, replied, follow me, Mu'adh, even if there is a deficiency in your deeds. Restrain from your tongue from speaking ill of your brothers who have memorized the Quran. Take responsibility for your sins. Do not blame your sins on them. Do not deem yourself innocent by finding fault in them.
So Mu'adh said, look, Ya Rasulullah, you're the Prophet of Allah, and I'm Mu'adh. I'm just a normal human being. How can I protect myself from all of this? You know, this sounds really scary. And the Prophet says, number one, Mu'adh, follow me. Follow the Sunnah of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then make sure, you know, and stay on the Sunnah, even if there's a deficiency in your deeds. Don't leave the Sunnah. Don't leave the practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, don't let your tongue speak bad about the pious, people who memorize the Quran, people who, you know, have a connection with the Quran. He says, take responsibility of your own sin. And this is a huge one. You know, that person should take responsibility of their sins. Because a lot of time we blame our sins on others. Oh, I did this because my wife, you know, did that. Or because my husband, or my, you know, my children, right? So we a lot of times put the blame on others, but you know, the Prophet of Allah here is saying that no, Mu'adh, your sins, take ownership, right? You made a mistake, own up to it. Carry on.
Do not introduce work done for the sake of this life into your work done for the next life. Do not be arrogant when you sit with others so that they avoid you because of your bad character. Do not whisper to someone while someone is present.
Don't be arrogant. So this shows another bad side of arrogance, or another, you know, side effect. That when you are arrogant with people, they avoid you. Right? Nobody likes a person who's like really stuck up, who thinks the world revolves around them. So, you know, besides saying that, you don't. Rasulullah is saying to avoid doing this because other people, they won't want to sit with you if they see that you're all about yourself, that you are, that you want to be the center of attention, that everybody's, you know, is has to be like just walking around and just serving you. So Imam Ghazali said, do you want, if this is the case, it's okay you take the back seat at times. It's okay not to have your voice heard. It's okay, you know, to quietly come in and to quietly leave. It's okay, you know, not to have the spotlight on you. And this is what the Prophet ﷺ here is saying. If you want the spotlight on you all the time, then people are start avoiding you. People don't like, you know, people others with these qualities. Let's carry on.
Do not be arrogant when you sit with others so that they avoid you because of your bad character. Do not whisper to someone while someone else is present. Do not be haughty to people so this can cut you off from the good of this life and the next. Do not tear people to pieces with your tongue, so that on the day of resurrection, the dogs of hell will tear you to pieces in the fire.
Wow.
Allah Most High says, by those who draw forth, do you know what these are, Muad?
So, Imam Muzayyar says, he then brings it, look, don't be arrogant, because why, it's, you know, people will avoid you. They said, don't whisper what other people are around, right? Don't, if somebody's around, don't talk to another person. And this is another hadith which Allah Sallallahu Alaihi talks about, that if you are in a gathering of three people, two people should not whisper. Or if you're in a gathering of people, you know, don't speak another language, or the third person doesn't understand, right? Because that'll put shock, that'll put doubt in the other person's heart. It said, do not be, you know, do not be arrogantly superior, right? Haughty, to be, you know, to think, to be disdainful, to be, you know, superior, we really look with your nose high in the air. And so that if you do that, then your deeds, then you're going to be cut off from the good in the dunya and in the good in the hereafter. Do not tear people apart with your tongue. And again, people, this is a huge, huge, huge thing that, you know, people love to roast others. And whether if it's for a joke or it's, you know, in complete seriousness, the mother-in-law might, you know, just tear apart her daughter-in-law, the father tearing apart the son. You know, always realize that our tongue is, you know, that one part of body. The whole body turns and says, look, if you're good, then we'll be good. But if you're bad, then we're all going to suffer. So do not tear apart somebody else with your tongue, so that the dogs of the hell of, on the day of judgment, the dogs of the hell, the fire of Jahannam, will tear you apart in a similar way. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited the hadith, but recited the Quran ayat, by the oath of those that draw forth. And he asked Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do you know who these people are? And Muaz radiallahu anhu, he replies by the may my fidak abi wa ummi, may my parents, my father and mother, be sacrificed on you. He says, ya Rasulullah, who are these people that draw forth, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking oath about them? Carry on.
I said, may my father and mother be your ransom. What are they, Messenger of Allah? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, they are dogs in hell that draw the flesh from the bones. I said, may my father and mother be your ransom, Messenger of Allah. Who is capable of overcoming these vile characteristics and being safe from them?
So the Prophet ﷺ says, when Nashta to Nashta, and the Prophet asked, who are these, when Nashta to Nashta? It says, these will be the fire, the dogs of the fire of Jahannam, that will draw the flesh and will bite away at the bones, right, of people. And Muadzan, he then answers the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is capable to overcome these characteristics and be safe from them? How do I protect myself in the hereafter? And all the characteristics that you talked about, of, you know, not deeming others inferior to you, not to be haughty, not to tear people apart their tongue, tear people apart by your tongue. How can a person, you know, be safe from all this? Carry on.
He said, O Muad, truly it is easy for the one whom Allah Most High makes it easy.
It says, it's easy for the person who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy for them. Which tells us that, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. Whenever you have a huge mountain to climb, and this huge mountain is the demons within ourselves, that ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, help me in your, you know, in worshiping you. Allahumma inni a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husna ibadik. Dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, help me in your remembrance. Allahumma inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika, and to be grateful to you. Wa husna ibadik, and to worship you in the right way. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Allah, give us the strength to embody all of these qualities within us. And if we, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he allows you to do it, if he helps you, then inshallah it'll be easy for you. Let's finish off the hadith and then inshallah we'll wrap up. Carry on.
The narrator of this hadith says, I never saw anyone who used to recite more Quran than Muad on account of this hadith.
Never saw anybody else that would recite more Quran because of this hadith that Muad, he really tried to build that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would make it easy for him. And this is how the effect of hadith should be. The effect of hadith shouldn't be, okay, cool story, bro. But the effect of hadith should be that it should inspire you to bring change into your life. It should inspire you to make, small adjustments, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a little bit more. And this is why we have these classes. This is why we have so much content that the masjid puts out, so that they encourage us and help us bring a change into our lives. Sahib, read ahead.
To you, then, who aspires to seek knowledge, reflect upon these characteristics. Realize that the greatest cause of these evils becoming deeply rooted in the heart is seeking sacred knowledge in order to outdo and compete with others. The layman is protected from most of these traits, while the student of jurisprudence is very susceptible of them and may be exposed to other destruction on account of them.
So when we said something again, we talked about this many times of who he's addressing to in this book. And he's talking about people who are students of knowledge, people that are trying to, get a higher level of Islamic knowledge. And he tells us that, people that are trying to go the extra route, they're more, prone to fall into these traps, because Shaitan really wants to kind of, pull you back and tie you down. Right, so he says, realize that the greatest cause of these evils becoming deeply rooted in the heart is seeking sacred knowledge in order to outdo and compete others. So he says that, look, if you are trying to gain knowledge to for the wrong reasons, then all of these illnesses are going to fall into your heart. At times you'll be jealous, at times you'll think you're better than others, at times you will roast people. Look, if you are a person that has knowledge, then really keep a close eye on your heart. Carry on.
So you must consider whether your main priority is to learn how to guard yourself against these destructive vices, occupying yourself with rectifying your heart and building your afterlife, or to take part in foolish conversation with those who like to do so, and seek the type of knowledge that will increase you in arrogance, ostentation, envy, and conceit, until you, along with the others, are destroyed.
So here, Imam Ghazali brings a really good point that if you have knowledge, you can be of two types of people. You can be of that type of person who, with knowledge, so every knowledgeable person, every scholar, alim, mufti, sheikh, can fall under these two categories, right? Which tells us that every scholar isn't, again, we give them respect and we acknowledge the sacrifice that they put in. But Imam Ghazali Abdullah pointing this out tells us that a person of knowledge could fall under either of these two categories. A person that builds his afterlife, that works on his heart, that works on himself, and that's a part of spirituality. The most important part of spirituality is where you preach to others that you first have to work on yourself. Where you tell others to have good characteristics and good akhlaq, it's important that you yourself have good characteristics and akhlaq. Because let your actions do the preaching. Okay? So Imam Ghazali Abdullah is saying that this is the first type. The first type is a person who works on himself and who works on his own heart. The second type is a person who gains his knowledge, but this only increases in them his arrogance, his ostentation, his envy, his conceit, and it finally just destroys this person apart. So saying that be from the first category. Carry on.
Know that these characteristics are among the major diseases of the heart, and they have but one seedbed, love for this world. For that reason, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, love of this world is the cause of every sin.
So the hadith of Rasulullah said, حب الدنيا رأس كل خطيئة. Love for the dunya, it now causes you to do other sins. Right? And a person who has these characteristics, these three characteristics, know that these three characteristics are among the major sins, major diseases of the heart. Okay, we talked about them. Envy, ostentation, and pride and arrogance. The reason why a person has this is that they love the dunya. Right? They care about the dunya and that what people think and how great you want to be in the eyes of the dunya, in people's eyes. But the Prophet ﷺ boils it all down and says, "Hubb al-dunya ra'su kulli khatiyah." When you love this dunya, be ready to commit other sins for it. Be ready to lie at times. Be ready to cheat at times. Be ready to look down on others. Be ready to belittle others. Be ready to, show off in front of people. This is all because hubb al-dunya. Right? Let's carry on. Carry on.
At the same time, this world is the field we may cultivate for the afterlife. So whoever takes of this world only as much as he needs to help him toward his afterlife, it is his cultivated field. But for whoever desires this world only to live in ease and comfort, it will be his ruination.
So very simple. Imam Muzaffar Abdullah then wraps it up at the end. He says, look, this dunya is where you put in the time and effort. You put in the hard work, and whatever you do in the dunya, you will get the reward for in the hereafter. So all the hardships that you go through, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you for these hardships in the hereafter. But if you take it easy, and if you really, don't give attention to your spirituality, then be ready that, that whatever you do in the dunya, you can get the reward or the punishment in the hereafter. So he's telling us that you want spend this time wisely. Do the deeds that al-baqiyat al-salihat. Do those deeds that stay remaining with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are the deeds? Do some askar. Be nice. Be gentle. Have good characteristics. Some ibadat. And these will stay remaining with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتُ خَيْرٌ This is better. Why? It's kept with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we have this time here in this dunya. We can do both. Either we make our hereafter or we can earn the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, we'll wrap up here. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects us from the sins of the heart. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cleanses our heart. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Muqallib al-Qulub, the turn of the hearts, and we ask him that he turns our hearts to his ibadah and to his worship. Jazakallah khair. Inshallah, next week we will have our last class until after Ramadan. Once again, this class of Imam Ghazali Abdullah, Bidayat, it's a very deep, it requires a lot of thinking, it requires a lot of time and thought behind it. But inshallah, we'll have it every Wednesdays at 6 o'clock. We once again request everybody please join us. Until inshallah next week, JazakAllah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.